This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
And it is time now for our second hour content. And on a Tuesday, we give you the psychology of, I mean, we've gone through all of it, right? The psychology of somebody who dates an incarcerated person, the psychology of what it feels like when load shedding hits, the psychology of all sorts of factors and aspects. And I think that it's just so interesting to get into, first of all, ourselves, have an understanding of ourselves as feelings come up, as experiences occur. I suspect one of the best ways to, you know, find your footing and be able to take care of yourself is to understand what the heck is happening inside of you in the first place. And so today we're going to be talking about the psychology of grief. Grief is an intense emotion, a natural process that follows following a loss. Loss of a loved one, a friend, or a family member. The death of a loved one is a traumatic event that can affect many aspects of a person's life, including their emotional and psychological state. Death is an inevitable part of life, and yet every time it happens, it hits you, man. No one can get used to it. And you'll hear that little gogo at the funeral would just say, "Hi, dwaelege." You just can't get used to. And you also can't prepare fully for the emotions that impact you as it comes. The process of grief is complex. It varies widely from individual to individual. And so today we're going to talk a little bit about the different stages of grief, the ways that we can take care of ourselves during the grieving stages. And then I suppose, you know, when we have a sense of community, how we can be there for one another, how we can be the shoulders to cry on for one another, and when to really start thinking about seeking intervention and psychological help, going for counseling, etc., when it starts to impact our lives. So let's talk about this now together. And we'll all be sharing our stories because in one way or another, we've been impacted by loss. The number to dial is 0861-987-000. Let me introduce you to our guests. To really hold the space for us, we have counseling psychologist Nzamu Munga, who has agreed to join us once again. It's lovely to see you again. Welcome, Nzamu.
Thank you, Pavi. It's lovely to be with you again.
And then on the line with us, we have a voice that you'll recognize. Nkosikhona Malinga Mnisi has so kindly and bravely and honestly decided to join us today to share his story and his journey of grief. Thank you very much, Nkosikhona.
Good afternoon, Bobby. Thanks very much for having me.
And then we have Dineo Rasidile, who is also with us to share some of her story. How are you doing, Dineo?
Very well, thanks.
Good. Well, where do we begin? Perhaps we begin by sharing our stories, right? Nkosikhona, I believe yours begins with the loss of your father.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I lost my father in the year 2020. It was the 28th of May, in fact, of that particular year. So Sunday marked exactly 3 years since the death of my father. I'm relatively young, but I was even much younger at the time. Yes. In fact, I just turned 19 a couple of months before my father passed. So, you know, you can understand that I was at a stage where I really, really needed the role of my father. Mm. And I think also given the fact that we had been through a lot of challenges, but we just remained very close, even though my parents weren't together, you know. So, yeah, I lost my father on the 28th of May, 2020. And funny enough, every time I have the conversation, I can never really say, you know, what really transpired and the cause of death. It was natural causes. But, you know, the events that led up to it. And because at the time, it was literally when the world was, gripped with COVID-19 in South Africa, particularly. So we were all scrambling. And when my father died, it was just a couple of weeks after the COVID-19 lockdown in South Africa was announced by the president. So I unfortunately was stuck in Mpumalanga, my home province. And my father just collapsed. It was the 25th of May. It was a Tuesday. And, you know, you sort of remember all of these fine details because of just how traumatic the thing is. So it was a Tuesday. I got a call. And to this day, I'm so, so, so thankful that the call in which I got from my father's cell phone number was not actually him. Because I really think I would have regretted not picking it up because I thought my father was an entrepreneur, and he was always very adamant on sort of having me take after him in everything that I did. So sometimes I have to admit, avoid the conversations. Sure. And that is one of those days. But I'd find out later that it was in fact my father's younger brother, my uncle, who was trying to contact me to tell me what had transpired. And eventually my maternal grandmother was called by my mom, you know, who said, your dad has collapsed. My dad just collapsed on the side of the road. He had gone to run some errands for his business, and he was then rushed to hospital. By the time he got to hospital, he was essentially brain dead, and he was in a coma.
Sure.
And 3 days later, that's how he passed away.
Wow. I'm so sorry for your loss. And it's palpable how impactful each element of the story is, you know, clear as day to you, and probably sits with you still 3 years later. Thank you very much for sharing that with us, Nkosikhona. Tell me about your relationship with your sister, Dino.
Oh my gosh. She was literally my most favorite person on this planet. We were very close. So she was the firstborn at home, so there are four of us. And I still say four because it's weird to not, like, I speak about her in past tense? Do I? But yeah, so she was the firstborn, and I'm the last born. So we have 16 years between us.
Wow.
So our relationship was very, like, a very maternal relationship. All of the maternal side, because I have a very hardcore mom, you know. We have a different relationship, beautiful relationship, but different. But I got all, like, the maternal motherly stuff from my sister.
And how then did you hear, just as Nkosikhona was relaying the story of that fateful day and the phone call?
I think
your sister's passing.
It was also very unexpected, very sudden. My sister was a very healthy, sporty person. And one day it was a Sunday afternoon in February 2017, and I just got a call, panicked call from my nephew, who at first I thought he was laughing, you know, because I had never heard him crying like that. And we always used to tease her and make fun of her. So I thought it was, you know, one of those times. I'm like, what's going on? What's happening? And then I hear, no, wait, this person is hysterical. What is going on? And turns out that she had just been hit by a car on the road. The way to take him to res. So he was about to start his studies, and they were about to move him into his, you know, residence. So they had like the van with all of the stuff on the back, and they stopped on the highway to, you know, adjust things, fix things, and some reckless driver came out of nowhere, knocked into her, and she died instantly on the side of a highway. And so, on a Sunday afternoon, there I am, normal Sunday. And then I remember my sister, other sister, called me afterwards, because now we're all calling each other, and I'm like, oh no, she'll be fine, don't worry, the ambulance will get there, they'll take her to the hospital, it'll be okay, because I'm usually the person who's calm in a fire, you know what I mean? So I'm like, yeah, it's okay, don't worry, the paramedics will get there. And he's like, no, listen, this person does not have a pulse. I'm like, what do you know about checking pulses? Relax, the ambulance will get there, they'll sort it out. And then when my sister called, she called me and she's like, and now she's hysterical. Yeah. She's like, she's gone. And I'm like, yeah, they're taking her to the hospital. She's, we're all heading there now. You know, it's going to be okay. Because you just can't fathom what is happening. And all of this happened in like a space of 15 minutes. Yeah. All this calling and whatnot. Yeah. And eventually I hear that, no, this person is, she's now hysterical. She's like, no. Like, she's gone. And I was like, okay. And I hung up the phone and I think I sat silently for like a good 10 minutes, yeah, just like staring into nothing. And then when I had to say it out loud, mm, to the person that I'm sitting with, that's when I like broke down. But yeah, it was just sudden and unexpected, mm, and like the most jarring experience of my life.
Sure. I'm so sorry for your loss.
Yeah.
And thank you also for sharing your story with us. I mean, I wonder how important it is to keep recanting the story. There's something that can be quite therapeutic about that in some way.
Yeah, there is something in the telling of the story. And sometimes some people might think, well, I've heard that story many times, but every story and every telling of the story has different nuances, yeah, to it. And it's about paying attention to that in the need for telling the story. So there's something that is expressive, something that has got release value in narrating stories like that. Because otherwise the story sits inside of us, yeah, and it can ferment and it can cause some more complications.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's value in telling the stories, and we need to be patient. Those of us that may not have had similar experiences, to be patient with other people when they're narrating these stories, because it's on the need-to basis that they have to tell their stories.
Mm.
It's a survival instinct in us that wants to tell the story.
Explain more about that. What do you mean a survival instinct?
Because if we don't tell the stories, like I said, they said the story sits inside of us, and it can cause more problems. It can cause increased element of sadness and depression, and physiological complications even at that. Because grief, unfortunately, grief is very physiological.
Mm.
So it's not just a psychological experience. It's very much physiological, and it sits in our bodies for a very, very long time.
Yeah.
And sometimes even when we think we have forgotten, and this is where grief becomes very playful with us, because it's not just a cognitive or intellectual experience. You notice that there are times when you're just in the middle of nowhere,
yeah,
and you see somebody that reminds you. You might not even cognitively think about that particular person prior to that experience, and maybe a smell, maybe a lookalike, maybe an experience. You're in some place, and just a memory catches you, and you might not even be aware of how deep this experience might be, and suddenly you find yourself breaking down in tears.
Mm. I wonder, Nkosikhona, if you can relate to that, because the work that you do needs you to continuously be reporting on incidents that may be triggering. And I mean, maybe apart from that, smells, roads, going home, things that trigger that memory for you?
Mm. No, absolutely. And I think, Bobby, I certainly agree with that sentiment that it's a survival thing.
Mm.
I remember on the night that my dad passed. I mean, as I said, I was back home in Mpumalanga, and this was all happening in Joburg. And in just keeping sane, I kept calling so many people.
Mm.
And I found out very late in the evening. I think it was around 10 p.m. when I found out. And I kept calling people and, I mean, waking people up. And I just wanted to talk to someone. And I remember after I found out, I sort of was there just in utter shock. And then a couple of minutes later, it's only when did I burst. And I was so fortunate to have such a great support structure, even at home. My maternal grandmother, was my best friend, was there. But I kept calling. I just kept wanting to tell the story. And on a daily basis, I've got constant reminders of my dad, even myself.
Yes.
When it comes to my, when it comes to my smile, when it comes to my voice, when it comes to my charm, that's literally all things I derive from my dad, and that's exactly how my dad was. And every time people see pictures of my dad or people see me, they just like, you are literally your dad. And we were twins. That's literally what we were. So I have daily and constant reminders, but also I tell the story of my dad quite a lot. I do still have a lot of questions about how he passed, because as I said, you know, it wasn't something that I got an explanation from the medical team that treated him. And it was such a quick process from, you know, my dad passing, and then we have to prepare the funeral under all of the stringent rules that COVID brought. So, you know, there were issues around him having had a hemorrhage and a stroke, and that's how he slipped into a coma, and that's how he subsequently... But I never really got an explanation. So in my work sometimes, you know, in comforting other people, because at times you just have to play that role.
Yeah.
I know there's this notion that as journalists, you just become neutral and you become immune. But at times, there's people that will reach out to you and want to hug you. And I mean, you're human at the end of the day. So I tell my dad's story quite a lot. But I can also tell you on the other side of it, there's people that are no longer in my lives because part and part for them, perhaps they felt that as if I shared too much of my grief story. So it got contrasting sort of sides to it.
We have to talk about that. I can relate to that, and I've seen that happen where you almost, you can just see who your real friends are, who your people are. There's such an impact in your relationships. Let's park that for now as we take a short break. This is Power Lunch on Power 98.7. It's our Psychology Of segment, and today we're discussing the psychology of grief.
Tweet Barbie at Barbie Muloy and hashtag Power Lunch.
We're discussing the psychology of grief, and the process of grief is exceptionally complex, and it is a process and a journey. On the line with us, we have Nkosikhona Malinga Mnisi, who is a family member here on Power, who lost his father 3 years ago. Dineora Sidile is in studio with us, who lost her elder sister and has told us that story of what happened 6 years ago. And we have counseling psychologist Nzamu Munga, who's here holding the space and guiding us through these feelings that emerge and the even relational issues that happen as a result of the loss of somebody that you love. And Nkosikhona made such an interesting point there around losing friends and people not really wanting anymore to be around. And I wondered, you know, is that something that you experienced along your grief journey?
Absolutely not. I am so shocked that that's even a thing. I experienced that complete opposite, actually. I think my other siblings and I find we got closer after her passing. We shared a lot more. We had a lot more heart-to-hearts. I was very blessed to have like my closest friends, my best friends around all the time. And they also sadly went through a lot of grief themselves, lost people themselves. And
it brought you all together.
And it did, absolutely.
So I wonder, Nsamu, what then is it? Is this down to how dynamic and complex and individualistic anyone's grief journey is?
I think there are many factors that come into all of this, right? There's a lot of studies that show that marriages, for example, tend to break after the death of the child, right? The marriages tend to break after the death of parents. So there's actually a real study that shows that relationships tend to break because of all sorts of dynamics that might be happening. Some of the dynamics would be quite intrapersonal, so they're happening within individuals that are experiencing the loss. Other dynamics are the fact that sometimes grief and loss can be quite fatiguing for some people, and because we don't know how to hold the complexity of the grief, we might find other people's experience of grief and loss very, very tiring and exhausting. And we want to, and it feels like a burden. So we want to separate ourselves from holding that space for them.
Yeah.
And it's important for us to mention here that for a lot of cultures, for example, I think I want to bring this in here, that for lots of Bantu cultures, grief is allowed a lot of time and space. But because our cultures are shifting and changing with urbanization, and people are a bit more preoccupied with the everyday stuff, we're not giving enough time for us to hear these stories. For a person who's lost somebody, for a person who's going through loss, like I said earlier, their need to tell the story is part of their own path to recovery, to finding that balance. And what lots of cultures did was to provide a lot of platform and space, for people to tell that story through contained rituals, where they were very deliberate about allowing these stories to be told and retold until such a time when almost organically there's some kind of equilibrium that is established, and people feel that they don't need to tell the stories as much.
Yes. Right. Yes.
So, because of the changing times, we are burdening, at least in the way that we think about it, we are burdening the few people that are in our immediate circles, because the relationships have become so insular and very limited. So, what was something that was held by a community is now being held by a small circle of friends.
Which is why, I mean, your community seems to have been banded together and was able to contain that. And perhaps somebody who's in a more urban setting, who perhaps doesn't have that luxury, will experience it differently. It's so, so interesting. And it's also so profound how our cultures had that built in. You know, how to support each other, how to walk through this process together. And if anyone would like to talk to us about that, I'd love that. The rituals, the black uniform of a grieving widow,
exactly.
For example, that year that you go through, not going out after hours, for example, staying together, all of those aspects. I'd love to talk about that as well, because, of course, that is a part of our grieving process. Let's find out now what's happening in the very latest Power Headlines.
Send us your voice notes on 083-303-7093.
Hi, Bobby. What a touching topic to talk about. I lost my mom in 2018 on the 9th of June at exactly 10 to 7 in the evening. I still think of her till this day. I'm not sure if I'm still grieving, but I think at the same time I've made peace with the fact that she's not around me anymore. Even things have started changing. They're no longer the same way that they used to, but I still get to think of her each and every day. Does that mean I'm still grieving?
What an interesting, interesting question. If you think about the person that you lost, does it mean that you're still grieving? Thank you very much for that voice note. All right, Nsamo, what's the answer to that?
Yes, the answer is yes. Unfortunately, or fortunately, actually, I like to think about it as fortunately, grief is our constant companion on our life's journey. It never ends. It's about establishing a healthy relationship with grief. What I tend to do from my own experience, and also from my experience of working with people that are having to live with grief of all sorts, is what I call grief moments. Like, we accommodate grief moments in our daily routines. Even if it's 5 minutes of giving yourself the permission to grieve, and 5 minutes to remember specific people. And this is why, again, going back to cultural practices, it was very intentional to remember the ancestors, you know, that you don't go about life without honoring the ancestors. It's really about that, giving yourself that moment to remember, to honor, because people may have gone, if it's a loss of somebody in particular, but they're not done with us. You know, they're not done with us, whether we think about them psychologically or the place they held and had in our lives, they still hold it. Mm. You know, so I don't think it's the question of whether somebody is grieving or not. It's a question of how do I hold that grief, because grief can actually support our living.
What do you mean by that?
So one thing is that if I don't honor the grief, I might want to forget about that particular experience, but it never goes away.
Yeah.
Whereas if I bring it to the fore, yeah, I give it time, I give it expression, I give it room, it takes a different shape. Yeah. So that pain turns into fondness. That it turns into warmth. Mm-hmm. Whereas if I don't give that, grief then turns into self-absorption. It becomes an anti-energy, anti-relationships and things like that.
So you actually need to give grief time,
yeah,
and give the grief the space to highlight itself in your life.
Yes.
When it comes up, you need to feel it, go with that feeling, and not ignore it. Because you could try to drink it away. You can try to work it away.
100%.
You can try to anything away. It doesn't go away.
It doesn't.
And I love that you're saying you honor it, because eventually it highlights that love that you had for that person and supports your living. The number to dial is 0861-987-000. Pastor Jonas, you were the first cab off the rank. How are you today?
Fine, thanks. I felt blessed here.
Yes, talk to us. Our whole
topic
about grief.
I know, and Pavi, I'm not an expert in this, but I am passionate about the subject, as it were. Now, before I go to the point I wanted to make myself, I needed to talk for the friends. When the guy said, friends do go away. My experience is that sometimes when you are grieving, people don't really know how to handle you.
Yeah.
They just move away, not because they are afraid of you or they don't feel for you, but because you are in such a terrible pain, they don't know what to say around you. And you might interpret that as people moving away because of your grief. You follow what I'm saying?
Yes, yes.
Hello?
Hello, we're here. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Yes, all right. We're agreeing. We understand that. Thank you very much, Pastor Jonas. And that's tough. I suppose if you are a friend and you've experienced that as well, you know. Can I tell you, even when you see somebody who keeps posting on social media, and you see the same types of posts over the time, as loving, caring, open, genuine, nice, empathetic as you are, after a while you're like,
oh my God.
You know? And is that natural, or are we bad people?
So actually, when they're saying that, I remember, because I only got any sort of grief counseling or therapy only 2 years after she passed.
Yeah.
So, and I learned that I was, you know, that thing where she asked, are you still grieving? Are you, because you have this mentality that, okay, it's been a year, I should be fine or whatever. So I wasn't even dealing for 2 years until I had a breakdown in a random social setting. And what I learned when I went to this grief counseling was that one of the first things they said to us is that you need to be prepared that people are going to say snacks things. Like, people are going to, and sometimes they really mean well. Because it's uncomfortable, it's painful, it's awkward.
People don't know what to say.
And some people have never experienced any. Like, for me, that was the very first, intense loss that I'd ever experienced in my life, and so people don't know what to say. And even with yourself, that patience of understanding that, I mean, with myself, and I heard Uncle Sikona, we clearly are those people who will remember details. Like, I remember the sky was blue, it was a very sunny day outside, it was, and somebody else next to me just goes blank. They can't remember, they know that their mother passed in this year, but they just, they've their brain has like completely shut everything down, and only when they started that process of speaking and how were you feeling and where were you and whatnot and this is what happened, did things start to come back, and then they start to realize, oh, this is why I do life like this. This is why I don't get close to anybody. This is why I don't.
So it really starts to affect because,
yeah,
how you live.
It's because you're like, they realize that, oh, I'm not dating because I'm scared that what if I fall in love with somebody and then now they're gone after I've declared my love and allowed myself to experience this intense love. And it's so deep, but like the main thing was that we all experience it differently.
Yeah.
We're not going to respond the same. And to just have that patience to just check in with yourself of like where you're at.
Yeah. And I was telling the story of these posts, etc., because we also need to kind of understand everybody's on their own journey. Mm. It doesn't necessarily make people bad people. It can hurt, though, if it's your friend, but everybody's kind of experiencing things their own way. Stembiso is on the line. How are you, Stembiso?
I'm all right, Papi. How are you and your guest?
Good. Please, we're talking about grief. Share with us.
Yes, yeah, about grief. I actually want to say that. Hello?
We're really struggling to hear you. I don't know if we can just find you on a better line. Let's speak to Soli in Leondale while we try to sort out Stembiso's line. Hi, Soli.
Hi, Bobby, and your guest. Like, I'm holding here, not sure whether to drop the line or not because of the speaker before me. Like, I think you said is a pastor.
Oh, yes,
I took the words from my mouth because
Pastor
of
Jonas.
I thought it is. Yes, I thought it is the important contribution to say that. And I'm happy that one of your guests confirmed this, that grief can also break relationships. Like, I'm in a situation. The people that I think they will be supportive, they are distant. Hmm. And then my immediate assumption is that they were not true friends. But they are in a situation whereby they don't know how to look at me. They don't have words to say to me and so on. Just like in the situation that I'm in now. 2 Sundays ago, my son fell from the tree. For the whole entire of last week, he was in ICU. They only took him out from ICU to another ward today. Now, some of the people, we kept on putting them at ease to say that, be free because of we know the very same situation. Also, we had the situation whereby a person very close to us whose son has passed away, we did not say anything. We only drove to the funeral. He only saw us at the funeral. And then he was surprised because of we could not know what to say at the time. So I'm just saying that some of the valued relationships, they must not be broken because of the situation of grief.
Thank you, Sonny. It's so interesting how that keeps coming out. It's very, very interesting. Stephen is in Pretoria West. And that is Steve. It's good to talk to you.
Good afternoon, and the guest. You are touching this is a very interesting because I agree to my son-in-law, whom I regarded as a son-in-law, until I came to realize that sometimes the two ways, the way that you are actually saying, like when you ask me, how are you? I am just saying I'm fine, but the principle of the word itself, fine, must say something to me because it is down deep in me. And then during the process, that's when I started asking, even if I pray, do I really, my prayer, does it, do I go to the principle? The last prayer. I picked up the 5 principles of a prayer. The first one is actually the one that I picked up as saying, your first principle is actually to pray to God, for you worship God, and thereafter you submit to God by like what is it, our Father who art in heaven. Mm-hmm. Our Father, that is the first principle, who art in heaven, you submit completely to him. And the other third one is to ask for the daily bread, which I interpreted as first bread as a normal thing, but now that was okay, the supply of the Holy Spirit to give you strength who can
to
overcome this mountain that you are actually. And the other one is the forgiveness. You know, when you say forgive those who have exalted you, that is the principle. And then until we don't turn certain ways to become formulas like mathematics with 2 plus 2.
Sure.
But one has particularly to develop this himself, because I can be consoled by many people, but if I don't work on myself,
Amazing. Then thank you. It's
never going to be to help me. I will continuously. But yeah, that's how I actually healed until I came to that point.
Thank you
for raising up this, this thing, because it's part of healing also.
It really is. Thank you so, so much. Lots of people are saying this topic is triggering. I know I had to steady myself before coming on air, just deciding how we're going to approach this, you know, because I think it is such a necessary topic to have.
It is a necessary topic to have, and I think we cannot have enough of this kind of conversation, because, like I said, grief catches us sometimes unawares. And it's always present with us, whether it's the I mean, I'm speaking here as if I haven't had my own share of losses, and I have. You know, it's not even a year since my dad passed. I had to run the Comrades last year just in honor of my dad, who passed in June. It's not even a year yet, right? So now, the reason I'm mentioning the Comrades here is that sometimes grief has to be ritualized. You know, when one of my older sisters to have passed away in 2008 died, I couldn't go to the funeral for all sorts of other commitments. But it took me about 6 months. On Sundays, I was always cooking alone in the kitchen. And and in the time that I'm cooking, I'm bawling out, you know, I'm crying. Until such a time when I couldn't cry in the same way. So I'm saying this just to say that sometimes we need rituals, practical actions to give expression to the grief. There are also experiences of grief that has not happened yet. So anticipatory grief. So a lot of people that have experienced a particular loss, for example, will have in them the grief that constantly stays with them. So whenever they hear somebody who is unwell, that comes alive. Right. So we anticipate the loss.
Which is why I think the news cycle can be so triggering.
Exactly.
Because if you've lost a child, for example, and then we hear these stories of children being killed, it's very triggering.
It
immediately takes you back to the loss that you have. Would you say on some level we're a nation perpetually in grief?
We are. I mean, we're listening to the news just about now and the woman that was killed on the side of the road on her way to work. I mean, listening to that story, for somebody, that story is just an innocuous story. But for most of us, when we listen to that story, it tells us lots of stories about our own experiences of losing somebody very close. So it's not just an innocent story. So because we live in a country that has got very complicated relationship with violence and all other things together, we are constantly on the alert, and grief creeps in those moments.
Let's speak to Lorraine, who's called in on 0861-987-000. Lorraine, welcome.
Thank you very much, Marie, and thank you for your speakers as well. You know, I was just saying to the producer that I think I'm worn out. I'm just out of words of comfort. So, you know, I don't even know which one is the right one, which one is the wrong word.
What
we are burying children. We are burying our friends. I buried my aunt in April. I buried, I'm about to bury a friend this week. You know, it's just, it's too much. And one often doesn't even know how to, you know, you can't even cry anymore. You just become so sad that you are dysfunctional. And we really need, I don't know, a plan out of it, not to, not death, but, you know, how to deal with it. And it is true. Anyone that reports death, and of recent I've discovered, actually since COVID, for me becomes a trigger. I start remembering such a loss, old, very old loss, by the way. I lost my father back in 1990. And imagine me starting to think how it felt, and it became so real, like I'm feeling it, you know? So I don't know. You just get this overwhelming sense of grief sort of coming. and consuming you. We really need a way out, and I'm grateful that I just had one of your guests today say, go back, you know, our Father who art in heaven, and, and just go back to God, to the basics. I know that it seems like it's something that is very life, and, you know, I think that's how I got out of bed this morning, because yesterday I was just so down, I was just so numb, I just didn't do anything, I couldn't do anything. I just didn't know what to say. She's young, she's leaving a son behind.
Is this a friend? You haven't actually told us what happened.
Yeah, she's a friend. She's a friend. She was depressed for the longest time, and mostly after COVID. She started taking prescribed antidepressants. We tried, you know, you try to be with someone and try to motivate them to see the beauty of life and everything. She's never wanted to be suicidal at all. She just wanted to live. But I guess, you know, she started frequenting hospital until 2 months ago. She was committed to one. And, she passed on yesterday. I don't understand it. And the funny thing is, you know, when people are about to, I don't know how it happens, or it's me, when God takes their people, they sort of get healed first, and then, or when you have hope that, oh, maybe they're coming back, and then all of a sudden they are gone. So, guys,
I'm so sorry.
We need help.
Oh, Lorraine, the show is for you today. To
you know,
connect with
you. Actually, because, and I spoke to the sister this morning. Most people, when they talk to me, they're like expecting someone to have strength, to have courage to keep them going.
Sure.
And I've done that for the longest time. But, you know, today I find myself, I need someone. I need a well. I need as well. I need. Because for the longest time I've been giving. And I just don't know what to give anymore.
Wow, Lorraine, please drive safely. Thank you for sharing that vulnerability with us, and we're so, so sorry for your loss as well. I mean, that idea of the pillar needs strength as well. The pillar needs a pillar.
Yeah, we all do. We all do need somebody to hold space for us while we are holding difficult things. And just to pick up something from that conversation, one of the temptations for us when we're discussing grief in spaces and connecting with why sometimes people feel like they walk away when holding space for another person who is grieving, is this idea that grief is something that we need to get over. You know, and as a person who works in this space of holding space for others, that's usually the first thing that I try to invite people to get over that idea of, you know, get over it. You know? And we become so impatient because we think somebody is choosing to remain in a space and experience of grief. But that's not the thing.
Yeah.
Grief is not something that we need to get over. Grief is something that can transform when we give it time, when we give it the space to, like we said earlier, when we allow it to take its own forms and shapes. With time, it takes different forms that allow us to find some meaning for it. Wanting to get over it very quickly is not always the best way to live with grief.
Nkosikhona, we haven't heard your voice in a little while. What is your say on everything that's been mentioned so far?
Sure. I've been sitting here and sort of just thinking, Babi, and, you know, really commending our callers and everyone else for just allowing themselves to be vulnerable. And I absolutely agree with this notion that we're so quick to just want it to come to an end. And I think partly because it's so painful at times. It's so restricting when because it's a pain that you can't physically hold. So you can't really give much description to it, even when people do ask you, how are you feeling? But I absolutely have to agree with the saying or the notion that I've learned to carry it or channel it differently. Mm. So even when the psychologist was speaking about, you know, crying different, I cry with a smile nowadays when I think about my father's life, when I think about my great-grandmother's life. And it's one passing I specifically chose not to speak about because it's still very fresh. She passed at age 92, God bless her soul, last day in January. And that was my maternal great-grandmother, so the woman that birthed my grandmother. But I smile when I think that I was so blessed to have had her in the physical form for so long. And so I've learned how to look at it differently. But I've also got into a realization, because when she lost her son, my great uncle, in 2020, she was about 90 years old, and I could only imagine what she was going through. But I realized that as you grow, you become the pillar. So I realized in myself as well to say, you're going to have to look at it a bit different, because as you grow, the unfortunate part about life is that the older we get, you know, we lose more people around us. And we get, you know, closer to the finality, which is why there's always a saying to say, really make the most of it, because it's certainly not long enough. So I've learned in that way. And I think for me, just my parting word is just for kindness from everyone. And, you know, to all the people that I've lost, I love them dearly. And my father knows this. And, you know, next month in July, well, month after the next, we're going to be celebrating my great-grandmother and my uncle with the tombstone unveiling. And I hope I can do the same for my father very soon. So thank you so much for allowing me to be a part of this conversation.
Just amazing. Absolutely. And we really appreciate your vulnerability as well. I think as we hear somebody else, you know, experience and explain their journey, it heals us as well. Thank you. Nkosikhona Malinga Mnisi there sharing part of his story as we talk about the psychology of grief. There's so much more to say. There's so many callers, but we have to take a short break and then it'll be Power News. And we'll wrap up our conversation after 2 o'clock.
Urgent, topical, timely. Power 98.7. Getting you talking about what matters.
I mean, the tweet from Introspective the Hippie says, healing is a journey. Rams Mabote saying, yo, I'm triggered, but thank you very much for this topic. Tanda M says, as people, we need to learn that we grieve differently because we also had different bonds with our departed loved ones. Never impose your grieving standards on others, even to your own children, but guide and support with love. And Mangi giving me a very kind of philosophical question, what is death? And I suppose that ties into some of the spiritual aspects that were spoken about by Steve and so many others who called in about the understanding of when somebody transitions, when somebody passes. It just reminds me, I've been saying, I'm so sorry for your loss to everybody, but it reminds me of what they say in the Jewish community. I wish you long life. Isn't that incredible? As somebody is grieving or has lost a loved one, I wish you long life. And life means so many different things. All right, let's speak to Philip in Vosloorus. Hi, Philip.
Hi, Bobby. I'm no longer in Vosloorus now. I'm in Moralita Park, Pretoria East.
All right,
but,
welcome.
Bobby, the grief comes differently. Well, I remember 2014 when I lost my son. I got so sick, I was admitted for 6 months. During admission, there were these psychologists, they were trying to counsel me. To me, it did not work because they made me repeat what happened over and over and over again, and that did not help me to heal. Then I realized that when somebody has lost somebody, you don't have to let them repeat or go in that house and tell them these things are you are not helping those people to grieve. You are not helping them to heal. It's like you are reopening the wound. I know maybe to others it's working, but to me, it did not work. I even told the psychologist, please, let's stop. This session is not working for me. Then the only way I healed was when I went to a umbrella who lost a son like me. And then he lost a son 20 years ago. And he explained to me that, Philip, my son passed away 20 years ago, but even now, still, like, it's yesterday. And expect that it's going to take long to heal. You know, I started, and I started to relate to what he's talking, because he's experienced the same thing. I like somebody come in there and tell the chair you are sitting on is no longer going to sit. Then it's like he's opening the hood, he's showing you all the things that you are going to lose and everything, instead of helping you to lose, to be comforted. And I learned also, when you are going to the place of the people who departed,
yes,
try a different topic. Talk about something. Don't remind them about it's there already. You are going to reopen. You talk about something that will try to take them away from what they are experiencing. And it helps them. One, I did that, and this guy started smiling. And when we were leaving, he said, you know, I wish we were not leaving, because everybody was just traumatizing me. You are the first people who came here and talk about something. And then for the first time, I smiled.
Okay. All right. I understand that. Thank you for sharing your experience and for sharing your vulnerability about what truly is the worst feeling and most unnatural feeling, loss, the loss of a child. My sincere condolences, Philip. But this idea of which therapy works for you, it's quite an individual process, isn't it?
It is an individual process, and there's no prescription.
Yeah.
And you've noticed that even in this conversation, we haven't even gone as close to talking about this is what you're supposed to be doing.
Sure.
Because
there's no supposed to be,
yeah, because each person grieves differently. Some people, their experience of grief, and by grief here, we're not necessarily talking about crying, right? Somebody can be stoic and in grief. You know, they can really shut their tears for 10 years before they can break down.
Mm.
And they might break down in a very unlikely place,
yes,
somewhere in Timbuktu,
yeah,
just climbing a mountain, and suddenly the moment comes and they break down, right? So there are no prescriptions, and there's no one that must tell you or tell me how I must grieve.
Mm.
I think what people can do is to be present, to create that space, to communicate empathy, to communicate patience. And I think what I was hearing from a lot of people calling in is the requirement or the request for patience. We need to be patient with each other when we're living through grief, when we've lost significant people, or when certain events happen in us. So patience.
And kindness. I know Nkosi Khona said that. Do you know anything to add there?
Yeah, I think it's very tricky, because, yeah, I think the main thing from the last caller is the fact that it's different for every single person.
It's tricky, that thing.
And there isn't a right way. Like, we can't, it's never a cookie cut, you know, situation. And I see that also, like, when I speak to my siblings and we talk about what we went through, it's so different, because for me, I, especially fresh after, I would have to, like, I had this thing where I had to scroll through her photos. I made a folder. I had to scroll through her photos. I had to go back to voice notes. You know, whereas my sister, she's like, no, don't show me pictures. I don't want to. I will break down. So it's that thing, like, just to be sensitive and to understand that we all process things differently. We all will respond differently.
Yeah.
And the main thing is, as you said, it's the being present and just finding out how you can offer support. But I don't think that there's like a cookie cut way that we can.
Because I remember a stage of grief with somebody who was incredibly close to me, and I remember the funeral. Whoever was officiating it was quite light in how they were speaking. They were, you know, levity, jokes, a little spice.
Mm-mm.
And naturally, I'm that type of person. But I was incensed.
Mm.
How very dare you make jokes at our darkest moment? And he wasn't making jokes about the darkest moment.
Mm.
But you know, a priest can say things in a this way and a that way. And so to what our previous caller was saying, for me in that moment, it was very triggering to talk about something else or to, you know, almost not focus on just how immense that grief impacted me. But the rest of the congregation was just fine.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's the thing with grief, that whatever one says, there's something about grief that wants it to be seen.
Mm.
You know, and It's always looking for an eye. It's always looking for an eye that sees it for what it is.
Yeah, that's deep.
Yeah.
And that's right? why we lean into people that know. For example, with yourself,
yeah.
It's your family. It's your people that yeah. can share certain aspects of that particular story without judgment, without telling you to shut up yeah. or to forget about it, right? So grief... Sure. Sits in us until it is seen, and this is why. Yeah. This is why when grief is delegitimated, it becomes even more complicated.
Yeah.
When nobody sees us in our grief,
yeah.
in our loss.
Sure, that's incredible. Temba is in Rustenburg. Hi, Temba.
Hello, my sister.
Hi. We're talking grief.
Yes, I've been holding for over 30 minutes now. Yes, I'm a pastor.
Mm.
My sister, you know, the truth you know will set you free.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to share my experience, you know. I've lost also my father. I think it was 1997. I've also lost my sister, mm. my close sister.
Mm.
And the other sister, the younger sister, you know, when he remembered my father, if it's a Father's Day, he'll always phone me crying and what. You know, and my father passed on 1997.
Mm.
But it's different for me. I'm not saying that I did not mourn when my father passed away. But the truth which I know set me free.
Mm.
The truth which I know which set me free, my sister, is that death is not a biggest tragedy in life. The biggest tragedy in life, my sister, is to die without Christ. So what actually happened, my sister, is this. God has put an eternity on each and every one of our heart. I don't like the phrase when they say, may your soul rest in peace. May your soul rest in peace.
Why not? Yes.
My sister, not every soul rests in peace.
Oh, wow.
My sister, the souls which are resting in peace are those who have accepted Mrena Jesu. That's the souls which they rest in peace.
And everyone else?
Everyone else is being tormented somewhere ever in the place called Hades.
Okay, Abu Temba, but I think you've made your point.
You know, we always say somebody passed away.
Yeah.
No, there's no such thing as somebody passed away.
Mm.
Somebody passed on. So what actually happened is I know that my father, he passed on.
Because he had Christ.
And I don't mourn like a heathen, like the Bible said.
Oh.
I'm mourning in a hope that one day, because I'm also saved, I will see my father.
Amen and amen. Abu Temba there sharing, I suppose, his own belief. And I was at a funeral very, very recently, and it was somebody who was very devoutly a part of the church. And whether I have the same level of devoutness or not, I could see how much comfort it brought the people there.
Mm-hmm.
And in that case, you just go, okay, that's what they need. That's what people need. Your own spiritual belief, your own understanding. Because we actually, I mean, maybe scientists have explored it. We don't know what happens after we take our last breath. We don't know.
Exactly. And it's important to appreciate that there's something, like I said earlier, there's something that is not in sync with our cognitive orientations.
Absolutely.
When it comes to death, it's not so much of the thinking itself.
Yeah.
It's the experience.
Yeah.
So it does. A lot of times, it doesn't really matter whether somebody has holds certain beliefs or
yeah.
not.
Mm-hmm.
It blindsides us, and grief always comes with that cognitive dissonance that just surprises us all the time.
Because it's similar to, did you get to say goodbye?
Ish.
You know exactly. That question.
Yeah.
Did you get to say goodbye? I remember when my friend Kuli Roberts passed away, mm. 2 days before she had phoned me. And that day I just felt, let's just give her time. And we sat and we talked for about an hour and a half. I just gave her time. I was like, hey, chill back. And we talked about every which way we can talk about.
Mm.
And then she passed away. And it was almost as if whatever the spiritual stars yes. aligning, we're like, this is your final conversation and give it time. So it's very interesting. There are a lot of things that then we start looking back on, yes. we start analyzing, and whatever brings you comfort, I suppose, is what you lean into. Wow. Khumudzo has called in. Khumudzo, talk to us.
Hi, Pabi. I will try not to be too long. Just two things for me. I think from especially your panel, that whole idea that there is no set way. Yeah. When your other guest was talking about how her sister's so opposite, one of my oldest friends, and I thought of her last week when we're talking about friends, passed away in November 2016. Mm. And we've been so close. We grew up so much. Our families are so together. Mm. But I cannot see them. I share a birthday with her son, and it's 5-6 years later, and I cannot see them. Mm. I cannot be in their presence.
Yeah.
Because as long as I'm not seeing her, it's the same as, you know, when we did boarding school and we were not necessarily there. And I feel so bad because people will get angry with you. Like, you know, sure. and you're like, I can't do it.
Yeah.
Like her parents are like our neighbors, and our parents are like incredibly close. But beyond birthday messages, I literally cannot. I'll call her husband to check how the kids are, but I can't. But then the other question that actually had me originally calling, and that is to, I think it's Kano, your guest, who I would really like to have a later conversation with as well. It's a different type of grief that doesn't have to go with death or passing. And, you know, this journey I'm on with the autism, I listen to a lot of moms when we talk to each other.
Yeah.
And lately we've been talking about the grief of losing what you thought you had.
All right. Yeah.
And when he was just talking about delegitimizing, I was almost thinking this is actually why I didn't want to call, because I just thought to myself, because then people say it's not necessarily grief, but it is.
Yeah.
But the difference with it is it's not the grief of somebody being in another realm, because this person is still your child. They're still your blessing. But the life that you were supposed to have is very different. And even now, as we come in with speakers, it's like the way people respond. But then it's also a grief that you can't sit in, because you also still need to do and deal with the here and now.
But who says so you know, can't sit that... in? You. I mean, what did Nsamo say? The grief needs attention. It wants to be seen. So of course that needs to, in a healthy space with, you know, the support that you need, to be seen, Khumudzo.
But sometimes that is incredibly difficult in the sense
that, of course,
it's like I'm still raising the kids. I still need to do so. I do like, of course, you were saying that you give it as expression. So I advocate and I talk about this thing, but every once in a while it trips you up. So just my last comment. So one of the comments we always get around April is like, people are like, no, you want to talk about autism? Only in autism month. And you're like, you do know this is my life,
you
right?
Live I can't it every commentate. Day. Yeah.
This is not a cricket match. So talking about it, I need to psych myself up.
I agree.
And then when I stop, it actually leaves me quite drained, and I have to disappear for a while and do my rituals before you come back again and continue the work again.
So that's
something
we need to talk about, and Khumudzo, we'll have you in. We'll definitely need to talk about that. I think if somebody finds themselves as a single parent, there's a grief of what family you thought you were building. If somebody, you know, even down to people who fought so hard for South Africa to find liberation, looking at where we are, there's a grief that it's not what we thought it would be. Yeah. There's a grief. Guys, we've got to wrap up. We've got a voice note to wrap up our conversation. Please go ahead, Oza.
Hi, how's Bobby? How are you? Kilui kuma bupane. Bona, how's Bobby? I get to ringa usabela bia. Mara waizi yo. Ha. Voice ya aus Khumudzo go mood share. Bona. Good to hear that voice on the radio. Ngarenga ikutwa every day. Thank you. Nice show as always.
Wow. That was the, what was that? The N2 off-ramp. What off-ramp was that? But thank you very much for that. Thank you for sharing your story. And I do wish you long, long life. And thank you for your vulnerability and your honesty. Dino Rasidile. And Nkosikhona Malinga Mnisi, of course, who was on the line with us earlier. And our counseling psychologist, Nzamo Munga. Thank you very much as well.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.